You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. Dark Side of the Ring. Evan, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, Evan, I remember when we spoke a few years ago when you first started this, and it was season number one and episode number one, and it was the Randy Savage of Miss Elizabeth, and then, of course, there was the screw job, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, and, you know, season number one for you, if you look back to, you know, 4 years ago and how it went, and even through COVID and everything else, you know, then there was the Chris Benoit stories, part one and two and stuff like that. What's, are you surprised that it's gone this well? What's been the feedback now that you're entering year four?
Yeah, it's been pretty mind blowing. Back when we were doing season one, I mean, we never would have thought that, you know, over the course of the next few years, we would have made 40 episodes of this show, 40 hours, you know, on wrestling. It's pretty crazy. But it's been great. I mean, just, you know, the process of, you know, having the fans, embrace the show. And then, of course, all the wrestlers, as well, many of which I grew up, you know, idolizing as a kid. And so it's been pretty wild. It's been a very intense wild ride. And especially, you know, mentioning through COVID, you know, keeping the show going, and, you know, we've never stopped probably since the first time I talked to you. Yeah. We have never stopped, and we've been hitting the ground running, just doing season after season.
So of all the wrestlers you've interviewed so far, which one maybe surprised you and was different than you expected?
Whoa, different than I expected. Man, that's a good question. It's like, you know, immediately we've done hundreds of these interviews, and it's hard to pinpoint exactly, you know, just one. I think I'm kind of always surprised at, you know, I think one of the things that we wanted to do with the show is we really wanted to peel back the curtain. We wanted to get to know who these wrestlers were in real life, you know, beyond their characters, yeah, beyond the facade, that larger-than-life caricature they played on TV. And I think I'm always surprised by the humanity, you know, just, you know, these are very relatable, regular people that we can, you know, relate to, have been through all the same trials and tribulations and traumas, maybe even more so in some cases than, you know, we have. But I think that's always sort of surprised me, is that, you know, growing up, you know, idolizing someone like Jake the Snake Roberts, or, you know, someone who's just this unstoppable force, or being, you know, scared of Abdul the Butcher growing up, and then kind of realizing that actually he's, you know, he's just a regular person. No, I wouldn't say a regular person, but, you know, a person like me. It's, you know, that has always surprised me.
Well, Abdullah the Butcher was definitely, you know, an intimidating figure, and he's, of course, part of season four. Now, you've seen, you've had all the episodes, and I'm sure when you're involved in all of them, you like them, but there's some that just, for whatever reason, resonate with you as an individual more. So of your first 30 episodes that you've done, is there one or two that, you know, that they just really stuck with you, and why?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, it's probably tied between the Chris Benoit story and the Owen Hart story. You know, both Canadian stories in some ways. But the Chris Benoit just story, that whole experience putting together that two-part episode, and, you know, really sort of being allowed into the inner circle, if you will, of, you know, his colleagues and his family members, and really addressing that story head on, you know, as that story had always been one that was you weren't supposed to talk about, and it was swept under the rug. And I don't think really people prior to that had really properly unpacked a lot of the emotions and all the very complicated, difficult, traumatic, you know, emotions behind that story. And so I think that just being, you know, a fly on the wall and being a part of those interviews and working with so closely with all the family members and colleagues, it was a pretty powerful experience that left a pretty, you know, intense impression on me as we were doing that. So, and I think that's kind of one of the bigger undertakings as a story that we've done. And the Owen Hart episode is very similar. That was very personal to me. And you know, I was a huge Owen Hart fan growing up as a kid. You know, my dad's name is Owen. I've always had this kind of connection. Is like Owen Hart was the only other Owen that I really knew, you know. And yeah. I'll never forget where I was, you know, when I heard the news of his passing, and it just left such an impression on me. And yeah, when we got to know, you know, Martha Hart and Owen's son, Oge, and just got to be, you know, really close with them, and that process of really telling the story and trying to right a lot of the wrongs of, I think, the perception of Owen's family, you know, after his death. You know, I think wrestling fans had kind of wrongfully put a lot of, you know, sort of scrutiny on them about how Owen's legacy should be remembered and by whom. And I think that helped to sort of address a lot of that and clear the air, so to speak, which I think was very much needed. So those two are personal to me for that reason. But I also have, you know, my favorite episodes that were pretty, you know, were pretty wild, you know, experiences, very eye-opening to me. You know, episodes about things that I never even knew about as a fan and things we were embarking on and not without knowing anything, like the Herb Abrams UWF episode comes to mind, or the FMW episode, you know, from Japan that we did in the last season. Like, just embarking on those stories where you don't know much going in, and then it's very, you know, sort of journalistic, you know, finding out all the information as you go, and those are always quite fun.
We are talking Dark Side of the Ring. Evan Husney joins us as the season four came out on Tuesday, and that was Chris Candido, Tammy Lynn Stitch. Tammy was kind of considered the first WWE diva, if you remember, people remember back in the mid-90s. I think in the mid-90s, in America Online had her the most downloaded celebrity on the internet. Back in 1996. Mm-hmm. Like, she was hugely popular. She's in, of course, the WWE Hall of Fame. I like, that's a pretty, like, she was, I would be very interested. I didn't get to see it, but I'd be very interested, kind of, you know, she really kind of became the first diva and really changed wrestling in a way.
Absolutely. And she was a total natural, too. I mean, like, I think that's one of the really cool things with our premiere episode just from two nights ago that, I think fans or viewers of the show will see is just that, you know, she was a natural right out of the gate. She was somebody, you know, Sunny, Tammy Sitch, she was somebody that never intended to break into wrestling. I think she was a fan, but she was accompanying, you know, her boyfriend, Chris Candido, whose lifelong dream it was to become a professional wrestler. And I think she kind of got swept up into it when Jim Cornette, who's a regular on our show, you know, back in the early 90s, sort of saw that she had some potential on camera. And then it was ironic that then she, you know, like, her star rose quicker than Chris's, and then she immediately propelled herself into the WWF and became Sunny and then became the Phenomenon. And it's just kind of one of those crazy things, you know, where it's just kind of lightning in a bottle. But, of course, you know, the story does take a dark turn, and, you know, there was a lot of substance abuse involved in that relationship, and you know, it's pretty much it's a pretty heavy roller coaster ride of, you know, where these two young, innocent, impressionable kids broke into the business, and the business sort of swallowed them up in a lot of ways, and kind of, you know, you sort of see where they wind up at the end, which is, you know, pretty insane.
Now you have a few other people: Junkyard Dog, Abdullah the Butcher, Bam Bam Bigelow, Marty Jannetty will be the season finale in season four. Now, it's available on Crave in Canada. Yeah. If you want to watch it on Crave, Dark Side of the Ring. Of the 10 you've done this year, which one did you know the least about that you ended up really enjoying and learning from after you got, you know, interviewing the people involved and knowing more about the story?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I was always a huge fan of Bam Bam Bigelow growing up. He was probably one of my favorite wrestlers that really captivated me. I mean, this giant wrestler with this, you know, flame outfit and tattoo of flames on his, you know, on his head. It was just, he was always this very, you know, he left a huge impression on me. And similar to with season two, when we did the Road Warriors episode, we sort of embarked on those in the same fashion, which was, we're just huge fans of these guys, and we don't even really care what the story is. Let's just go out there and we'll find the story, but we want to just make an episode about them because we love them so much as kids. And Bam Bam was the same thing. It was like, we just kind of threw it around, and obviously, you know, Bam Bam did pass away, you know, way well before his time, or well before he should have, but we knew there must have been something more there. And when we met his family, his ex-wife and his children, who were just amazing, incredible interviews, incredible people. And they sort of revealed to us just more about his last, you know, his last year or so, and just that it really was this very intense, dramatic, you know, story that I think is going to be very surprising to a lot of fans. Because I didn't know anything about that, and it was very, very, very eye-opening. So that, for me, was definitely an example of that, of something where we set out just to kind of do a piece that was, you know, honoring Bam Bam, which it still is, but then at the same time sort of finding a lot of other stuff in there as well, too.
Yeah, Bam Bam Bigelow, honestly, of all the names in Season 10, him and the Junkyard Dog, those would be the two where, like Bam Bam was just a very unique character. You know, Marty Jannetty, though, at the same time, that's one that would, of course, intrigue me. He was, you know, the Rockers. Who doesn't remember the Rockers? So that was, you know, they're pretty dominant for sure. So I definitely want to appeal to that. Now, these are obviously already done. Their air date's going to be between now and the end of August. Is season 5 upcoming? Is that for sure planned? What's the news moving forward?
Well, I mean, we haven't announced anything officially yet. You know, it's something we're definitely hoping and looking to do. There's definitely more stories in this world to tell, a ton of more compelling characters to profile. And we definitely have a lengthy wish list of subjects we want to dive into. So I think we just, you know, are saying stay tuned and you know, fingers crossed, and hopefully we'll be back with more.
So now that's my question of somebody you haven't done. Like, if you had to give me your top two in a perfect wish list, because I know that there's lots to go into it. A, the people have to be willing to do it and all those sorts of different things. Is there two that, like, if you could say you only get to do two more? Which two would be at the top of your list?
Oh man, that's tough on the spot. But there are quite a number of episodes we wanted to do. I typically don't talk publicly about them because I'm still sort of hoping that they can be done. But I guess one that sort of comes to mind is, I would really like to see an episode about Scott Hall. I think Scott Hall would be one that I would love to do.
Yes.
Someday. You know, I was a huge fan of Scott's growing up as a kid, Razor Ramon. Followed him to the NWO.
Who did? Like, every guy loved Razor Ramon and the Toothpick. Are you kidding me? It's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. And he really was one of the first wrestlers we got to know for the show. He was one of the first people we were sort of telling that we were going to try to do this Bruiser Brody documentary. And so he was an early adopter into what we were trying to do. And then he was an early interview for season one. And so I think it would just be, it would be kind of cool to come full circle and to tell his story and probably to focus on some of the more, like, you know, under discussed aspects of his early life and his career and sort of the things that really shaped him, you know, in terms of what made Scott, you know. I think that would be fascinating.
Oh, well, we got lots of texts coming in. People would love to see a Kamala episode, Ahmed Johnson, you know, lots. You grew up, did you ever watch Stampede Wrestling?
So I didn't really, so I'm actually from New York City, or I'm sorry, that's where I live now. But I didn't grow up in Canada, so I didn't really watch Stampede much. But I was more AWA. And, you know, WCW and stuff like that. So that was probably the closest I came to that.
Okay, because if you could do an episode on Stampede Wrestling, that you could do like part ones or two. It's amazing. Stampede Wrestling was huge. You know, the Hart, of course, Stu Hart and everything else. But Gamma Singh and like there's so many unique characters and, you know, guys who went from Stampede Wrestling, of course, Bret Hart and Owen Hart and, you know, the British Bulldog and Davey Boy Smith and so many of them that I know that some of them you've done as individuals already. But the Stampede Wrestling one, I think, as a guy who loves wrestling like you do, I think you'd be fascinated by it.
Absolutely. I think it's definitely one of the more intriguing territories that there ever was. I mean, last year we did our spinoff show, Tales from the Territories, for Vice, and we did an episode about Stampede for that. It was like kind of vignettes about, you know, different wrestlers. Like, you know, we had Abdul the Butcher on there. We had Bret Hart on there. We had Dr. D on there, just kind of telling some anecdotal stories of their wildest and craziest times from the territories. But the story itself, you know, of Stampede would definitely be fascinating. I totally agree.
So for those in Canada, they can watch it on Crave. And episode 32 overall, but number two of this season comes out June 6th, and it's Magnum T.A. For those of you retired wrestler, of course, he won the NWA United States Heavyweight Championship twice, but then I got into a bad car accident, unfortunately, and that really kind of derailed his whole career.
It did, yeah. Yeah, it is a sad story, but it also is an inspiring story. Because, you know, Terry Allen, a.k.a. Magnum T.A., he did eventually overcome his injuries. And his injuries from that wreck were pretty intense because, you know, doctors were telling him that he might never walk again. But, of course, he did. And, he really was also sort of kind of handpicked by Jim Crockett Promotions in the mid-'80s as really their superstar matinee idol wrestler that was going to help them in the fight and the competition against WWF and Vince McMahon. And he was really put in this position, to be that star. And you can see in the episode, you know, the absolute potential of that. And I really do believe that had his accident not happened, I really think that sort of the trajectory of the business definitely would have changed, sort of because he was on course to really be the next world champion. But of course, all those plans went by the wayside after the accident. So it is a tragic story, like I said, but there is a strong sense of hope there in terms of, you know, him overcoming that and finding a new life.
Yeah. Awesome stuff, Evan. We look forward to it. Really appreciate your time, and hopefully we can have you on again when season 5 is announced.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.